And we are glad in it. Good evening, family.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Deacon Connor, we will administer the Lord's Supper this evening, sir, as well.
Yes, I got your message.
Thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm. Where is Michael? Is Michael still in Ohio? Not Michael.
Yes, sir, he is. He's doing well. Him and his new bride.
Yeah, that wonderful podcast. Good evening, welcome, caller.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ann. How you all doing? Hey, Ann.
Good evening, this is Ann.
Good evening, good evening.
Good evening, welcome, caller.
I'm going to say hi to everyone percolating this evening.
Hey,
all
right.
Good evening, young man.
Good evening. Hope all is well with y'all.
Yes, how's Uncle Chester?
It seems like he's probably had a stroke. They're running some tests on him, but I ask y'all just keep him in your prayer, keep my mama in your prayer. Kind of weighing on him. Deacon Connor knows my family, so he knows how closely knit we are. So
yeah,
I wish he would have called me yesterday. He started having some complications yesterday, and this morning I had to literally just pull it out of what was going on with him. But we gonna trust God. We gonna trust God. He can't really see. He can talk. He's talking good. He doesn't seem to have any mobility issues. It's just his sight. So
sight,
you know, you got to feel for your balance. So we trust in God. Pray that God will reverse whatever's going on with him. And I trust God in that. I'm not gonna tell y'all that I'm not feeling emotional because I am, but I know God, it's nothing too hard for God, and I just leave it at that.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. Chester and I have a close connection. We, you know, grew up several doors down from each other. We all used to play basketball up there on Long Street with his brother Eugene. And from time to time, I ask Deacon Everett if, you know, how Chester's doing. I called him up a couple times, but didn't get no response. But we're praying that everything goes well.
Yes, sir. You know, I got to go ahead and drop something in my spirit. In the title, whenever I put this message together, don't listen to your feelings. You know, we can listen to our emotions and we can allow our emotions to paralyze us to the point where we are not focused on God. We got to stay focused on God because he is the creator of all things. He's sovereign. And he knows how things are going to work out, and we just have to trust in him to give us the peace. So that's what I'm counting on, because God ain't never failed me.
He won't, and I trust it, and I
praise and thank God for each of you. I'm grateful for each of you because I know that you have been praying even before this happened. I could feel your prayers over the weekend trying to prepare for this fast. So I know prayer works. So I'm grateful.
Yes, you said a mighty word, young man. Don't let your feelings tell you where God is and where God is.
That's
a word.
Amen. So it is 7:04 p.m. We are ready to begin our walk in the word. Good evening. It is Groundhog Day, the 2nd of February, 2025, and we're ready for our walk in the world. Welcome to the three P's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-20. Chair Scunner Jr., and I want to welcome you to the call this evening. So, on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, Out of the Box Ministries, Thursday night in the Scripture by Minister Mary Whitfield, we welcome you to our Walk in the Word this evening. So, we're going to open up this evening with the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. It's true and do it for all generations. Deacon Everett.
Father God Almighty, we come to you this evening. God, we look to you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the sovereign God of this world, and you are the sovereign God of this universe. And there is nothing that's going on in this world, no matter what state we're in, what country we're in. There's nothing that's going on in our life right now that you don't know about. And God, we just come humbling ourselves before your throne of grace and mercy to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. God, we are seeking your forgiveness for our sins because we have sinned and we have fallen short of your glory. God, we have doubted you. You have taken things on our own accord. We have taken things into our own being, Lord, failing to trust in you. We have allowed our feelings and our emotions to paralyze us and not let us be focused on you. But God, we seek your forgiveness right now for the moments that we have doubted you. And we are asking, God, will you create in us a clean heart? Will you renew in us a right spirit? God, we have assembled this evening to praise you, to glorify you, and to study your word, to learn more of you. And God, we are asking that you will take control of our minds. We ask, God, will you take control of our emotions, that we will not allow our emotions to lead and guide us, that we will be led and guided by your Holy Spirit. For your Holy Spirit is with us now because our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, has died, but he has risen, and he has returned to you on the right hand of your throne, interceding on our behalf. And for that, God, we are grateful. We are grateful that you allowed our Savior, Jesus, to tabernacle on this earth to show us what the example of humility looks like. And God, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus, that you will clear each of our minds, Lord, because each of us, we have concerns and we have cares, but we have learned on this journey of life, God, that we ought to cast all our cares upon you, for you care. We have learned to realize and understand, God, that there is nothing too hard for you. And so now, God, as we sit at this table, as we look into your word, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to each of our minds and our hearts and reveal to each of us what it is you will have us to know. I pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you will fill us with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, because you said in your word and all I get, and we are to get understanding. And we are seeking understanding now, God. So whomever you have prepared tonight to bring forth your word, I ask you to speak through the man and woman of God to break the bread of life with simplicity and with understanding. God, I praise you and I glorify you that you allowed me to be available this morning.
Amen.
To receive the call when my uncle reached out to me.
Yes.
I thank you, God, that you gave me the ability and the insight to realize something was going wrong, that I needed to investigate even further. I thank you, God, that even though I was tired, you still prompted me, Lord, to reach out back up to my uncle because something wasn't right. I just thank you, God, even after all that I have going through in my life, you still kept my mind. You gave me the common sense to realize something was going on, because we are so many people right now, God, they are alive, but they are not in their right mind. So I thank you, God, for mental clarity. I thank you, God, for my brothers and my sisters that are on this line and those that may not be on this line and those that are affiliated with the various ministries that make this gathering possible. I thank you for each of them. I thank you for how you continue to work in each of their lives. And I thank you for the connection, God, that we all have, that we are connected to you, God, our one and our only source. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's working in all of our lives, that we are praying for each other. I thank you for our Lord and our Savior, who gives each of us that strength, that wisdom, that insight, God. I'm so grateful. And I just ask now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you work in and through all of our lives. You know what all of us stand in need of, because you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. You know, God, what the outcome going to be, whatever, if it's a physical challenge, you know the outcome, God. You know, God, if it's a mental issue, you've given us peace, because our Lord and Savior Jesus that asked us and remind us that his yoke is easy. So I'm just asking now, God, whatever we're all dealing with, we'll place it all in your care. And as we listen to your word that is being taught tonight, help us, regardless of what we're going through, God, to apply your word into our lives, to trust in your word. Because, God, you don't want any of your children to perish. Jesus, we need your strength. Jesus, we need you to build us up strongly in your word. Jesus, we need you to carry us, because we realize, God, we can't carry ourselves. And we just ask now that you have your way in our lives. And in those moments where we don't feel comfortable, God, and you having your way in our lives, Lord, breathe on our hearts. Breathe on our minds. Refresh our spirit to know that whatever you're doing in our lives is for our good. Help us, God, now we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Everett. So now we will have announcements and celebrations. Dr. Dale, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Deacon Carter, want to say again, good evening to our family that is joining with us in this time on this Sunday evening of, as Deacon Carter says, the three P's and the E. Our announcement this evening, which we will have additional information coming later on, is just don't forget tomorrow, for those that are fasting and those that may not be fasting, and you have a prayer guide that has been provided to you, we ask you read along with us in the scriptures that will kick us off on tomorrow. This was considered prep day number four. And again, tomorrow begins our 21-day time of fasting, time of repentance, and time of prayer. We will post the scriptures each day for you to read, to meditate on as we move forward. We will have, mark this on your calendar, each Monday evening at 6 o'clock, each Monday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That will be 5 o'clock p.m. Central. We will have a time of gathering to encourage one another, to check in, to see how things are going. Our first session will be on tomorrow evening at, again, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, as we begin our 21-day Daniel fast. This evening, I'm asking now if we would clear our minds, our hearts, as we come to the table this evening, a table that has been prepared by our Heavenly Father. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, it reads, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This evening, as we come to the Lord's table, I want to remind you and point out some points for us to remember about the Lord's Supper. Number one is that it is a divine command. Christ said, do this. It is a blessed privilege. The table we come to is the Lord's table, not ours. Jesus is our host. We are invited to his table by his grace. We who sin against him and dishonor him are welcome to his table. What a privilege we have. Thirdly, it is a necessary memorial. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the cost of our salvation. It reminds us of the price Christ paid for us, you and I. It reminds us of his faithfulness to go to the cross in our place. Yes, he paid the debt that we owed that we could not pay. It is a willing testimony. By taking part in this service, we are willingly testifying to others our belief in Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world as well as my, your, our personal Savior. This evening, I can say that I know I've been born again. I know that I have been changed. I know because as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, when he talked to him, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. My question tonight is, do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that your name has been written in the book of life? Do you know that you made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration? Do you know that you are connected to the true vine? Do you know that your mind is being transformed and renewed by the word of God? Do you know that the word of God dwells in you richly, Colossians 3 and 16? Do you know John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him so that we would have an opportunity, so that we would be extended grace, so that we would be extended mercy to be able to come to the table on tonight. Yes, it's a humbling confession. We are confessing that we cannot save ourselves. We are not worthy of his grace. We are admitting that without Christ, we are, I am, you are nothing. The Lord's Supper is for imperfect people because perfect people don't need it. Yes, the Lord's Supper, it is an act of faith. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the crown, forward to his return. Our hope is in his return. He told us in his word. He says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And he said that I'm going to come back. You all, my hope is in knowing that he will return. When Jesus left the table after speaking with his disciples, talking with them, communing with them, he went out to the cross of Calvary. And there he died for us. Yes, it's an awesome warning to eat the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner carries a grave warning. I want to remind us that we are never to be nonchalant, acting as though this means nothing, or make a mockery of the elements. We are not to be frivolous and careless, but we are to be focused, dedicated, and committed. Let us now take the bread which represents his body that hung there on Calvary, who hung through the many taunts, the ones that were spewing out. He's the King of the Jews, the one that says that if you are the King of the Jews, if you're Jesus, why don't you come down? But I want to remind us tonight, he stayed there. Don't you know that the angels in heaven could have come down and taken him? But he stayed there. He stayed there because of us. He stayed there just for you and I. He stayed there. He died, and his shed blood was for the remission of our sins. He stayed there, you all. So tonight, as we look at the bread representing his body, let us eat. And yes, as I mentioned, the shed blood for the remission of our sins, for he was a perfect sacrifice. He was a perfect lamb, no blemish. He was perfect, but he stayed that his shed blood was for the remission of our sin. So as we take the fruit of the vine, let us remember it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Let us drink. Tonight, I want to remind us that we too as disciples of Christ, we too as ambassadors of Christ, while we are here in the earth realm, we are called to be a reflection of the light. We're not the light, but he is the light that lives on the inside of us. He's told us we're to be the salt. We are to be the light. We are to represent him and represent his purpose, represent his will, represent his way. He's told us, he's given us our commission, Deacon Connor, a commission that we can't retire in after 20, 25 years, 30 years. It's a commission that we have until he calls us home. Yes, he tells us like that in Matthew 28:19-20. He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Each one of us on this line are ministers of reconciliation. We are called to go and tell others that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves, and to point them to Romans 10:9-10, how they can be saved, and then point them over to John 15, how they can stay with him, remain in him as he remained in them, how they can be fruit bearers.
Yes. We have to baptize them
in the word of God. But notice what he promises us. Deacon Connor, he gives me an executive order tonight. This is straight from God. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let us be the ambassadors, disciples that he's called us to be in this earth realm. Going forth, letting the world know that he lives, that he saves, and how they too can be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Dale. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Oh, me, Lord, 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 one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood. Oh, Lord, they pierced him in his side, Yes, they did. They pierced him in his side. Oh, Lord, they pierced him in his side. Oh, me. Lord, 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 one day when I was lost, he died up on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, Lord, he hung his head and died. Yes, he did. He hung his head and died. Oh, Lord, he hung
pulling us together on this evening. Mm-hmm. I thank you for the voice of the heart of the spirit of those who have spoken out so far. Thank you for Dr. Deb Singleton and the communion time and the urgency and understanding of the power of communion, the power of the bread and the wine and the fellowship of the saints in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do not take it lightly. Hallelujah, to be able to partake of the elements together. We pray that His Holy Spirit would be with us tonight as we just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight and encouraging us along the journey. Whatever our problem is or whatever our needs are, we could take it to the Lord in prayer. We can take anything to Him in prayer. And as we are in preparation for a fast, we even prepare. I hope that your expectation is that God will do something, that God will do something as we push toward Him. We will pray until something happens. We will pray, we will push until something happens. We will seek Him until something happens. And I just thank God for the preparation. I thank God for the concept of being able to come forth as a group of believers, as saints of God, to fast and pray. So I just thank God. In preparing for this, Deacon Connor, as I prepare in my spirit and my mind, you know, you have to prepare physically, we have to prepare mentally and spiritually for a time of fasting. Sometimes God calls us into a fast. Sometimes our leadership calls a fast. And we're going to cover a couple of scriptures tonight just to talk about fasting. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit right now to guide me because I have thoughts to share what I want to speak, thus said the Lord. I just want to speak some things from the Word tonight. And one of the things that hit me tonight, Dr. Dale, was that when I started thinking about fasting and preparation and prayer, I actually thought about Romans chapter 8. And therefore, there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when I thought about that, Dr. Deb, I thought about if we're walking after the Spirit, then we must be able to subject the flesh. Sounded like fasting to me. It sounded like something that we must fast to be able to understand what Paul's saying to the extent that he's saying it. So tonight, my sister, and brothers, Sister Wembley, Mother Wembley, tonight I'm talking about life through the Spirit. We seek God because we are new creations. We have been born again. We were born of the water. We were born of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And it is by the Holy Spirit that we have guidance and direction. He is our paraclete. He comes alongside us to guide and direct us, to comfort us, to feel us, to strengthen us. And so as we think about fasting, as I probably want to cover a little bit, as you know, you have a handout. I'm going to ask Dr. Deb if she will come at some point as I end and kind of talk a little bit as the Lord would give her thoughts about as we have prepared for 4 days and what we're about to embark upon. And she did mention the checkpoint that we're going to have to help us along the journey.
Right.
Yes, the mantra that I had for this year is that in Christ we will thrive in 2025. And we add to that through fasting, repentance, and prayer. And it becomes even more powerful, Deacon Connor, as I began to think about the idea of fasting, repentance, and prayer. Both the Old Testament, these are notes that I have shared in the handout that you all have been given, and those that received that. But I want to walk through that a little bit and then share some scripture, and then I'll be out of your way for the evening. But both the Old Testament and the New Testament teach the value of fasting. That is abstention from food or drink in order to focus on prayer, seeking God's will, to focus on God's presence in our lives and to focus on Him. Fasting is mentioned over 70 times throughout the scriptures. In the Old and New Testament, there are two types of fasting. There's a public fast and then there's private fast. Both types offer great spiritual benefit to those who are seeking God. So through the many examples of the people in the Bible who fast, and we've heard some teaching on that, that Apostle Adside has shared some things last week about fasting and about the power of fasting. She shared some other things with us before, and Dr. Singleton and others who have come to minister to us have shared things about fasting in some of the scripture texts that they've covered. So we know that God grants supernatural revelation and this practice of fasting. Moses, Daniel, Elijah, and even Jesus fasted. Scripture tells us that fasting will help us grow a more intimate relationship with Christ and will open our eyes to what He wants to teach us. So it's something about denying ourselves of what our flesh wants, our desire to satisfy our flesh. We have chosen as the benchmark of fasting is the example of Daniel and the Hebrew boys who restricted their intake to not eat things that were meat and delicacies and the choice things that we like desserts and things, and to restrict themselves to the fruit and vegetables, water. And in some cases in the scripture text, it might have said pulse. So that would be like a vegetable substance. And so when we're fasting, even in this Daniel category of fasting, we are cleansing our temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Those of us are born again, of believers, we've been born of the Spirit of God. There's a new birth that has taken place in us. And so the Bible emphasizes repentance as the central theme with prophets, apostles, and Jesus Christ Himself calling people to turn away from sin and to return to God. So part of our fasting is to deal with repentance of sin and to purify our vessels before God that we might be even more ready to receive more of God into our vessel. Yes, fasting. And I want to do a couple of disclaimers before I continue on. For those of you, as we are part of preparation and part of the encouragement coming up to this point, as Dr. Deb has been sharing and Apostle Asad and others, we talked about making sure if you have some particular medical condition, such as diabetes or whatever, that you would consult your physician before you go too far into fasting. There, in the Daniel fast, which is relatively safe territory, you still want to be confident that you are medically capable. We want everybody to enjoy the journey of sacrifice, Not that it won't be challenges, because I've already heard some challenges coming our way already. Dr. Deb has shared something this morning. Minister Everett has shared some things. There are things that are coming against us. Sister Ruby has shared some things. And so as we are moving toward this time, ain't nobody mad but the devil, because he knows something is going to happen in this fasting time. I think of Isaiah 58. And so I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit kind of lead me to a couple of scriptures. Just going to read a few of them. And there are a list of scriptures, as Dr. Deb said, that she's going to be sharing those each day. And we talked about, as Dr. Deb had a revelation and just blessed us last week with the idea that, you know, the president was signing a bunch of executive orders. But we know that our God has penned executive orders in the Word of God. And so we're going to look at those executive orders. What is the kingdom of God saying? And I believe it was last week, hallelujah, as Apostle Asai was talking about in when you pray, coming out of Matthew chapter 6, which was part of the lesson today in the International Sunday School lesson. How apropos, they didn't know that we were going to begin a fast on the 3rd of February, that we would be in preparation for fasting when they came up with that lesson. But it blessed us this morning, blessed me tremendously as we were talking through that, and Dr. Deb was ministering to us from Matthew chapter 6, which also Apostle Asad had spoken to us as well. So the idea in chapter 6 is that Jesus didn't assume, how should I say this? The Lord spoke and he said, when you pray, he already assumes that you're going to pray. If you are following him, you are praying. What I want to say about that, though, as I thought about this and as I was thinking about this, the disciples were watching Jesus. Jesus would go off to pray. Yes, he would go off to pray. And they were watching the Lord and watching him as he would pray, watching what power that came from him as a result of his spending time in prayer. Yes, yes. You know, in the scripture itself, yes, we find that the Lord had prayed many times. The gospel accounts, there's about 25 times in different occasions where the Lord had prayed. Yes, he prayed. Yes, and they were with him during some of that time, and other times he got off by himself. The Bible tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. Now, that may not mean that you don't ever have a period that you stop. You have periods that you stop, but you're always in a mind of praying and talking to God. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, we talked about him, said that he never prayed more than 30 minutes, but he never went 30 minutes without praying. So his mind was always focused on prayer and focusing on talking to God and listening to his voice. And so we look at the fact that Jesus, hallelujah, has over 25 references of times when he prayed. Yes, in some cases we find that Jesus prayed on occasion by himself. He prayed in public at times, and he just prayed at different times. And so I just could imagine that even in the text of Matthew, that they were watching Jesus. And we know that the situation that happened when he came off the Mount of Transfiguration, when he came down and that boy was possessed, but the nine that were down there could not cast out this demon. But they had been given the authority from Jesus to cast out demons earlier, but they couldn't cast this one out. And so the man brought his son to Jesus, and we know that Jesus cast out the demon, and we know that he told them in privacy, as they were asking him, why couldn't they cast it out, that this one comes out but by prayer and fasting. And so, in other words, it takes a little bit of more of a supernatural strength to cast this one out. And so as we enter into the fast, we hear these stories, we read the stories, we see what the Lord was able to do. Even his disciples were trying to learn because they were following Jesus. They saw him go off to pray, and he would come back and cast demons out. He would heal someone. The woman with the issue of blood would touch him and draw the virtue from him. And so it's something that happens inside of the vessel of the person when they began to fast and to deny it of what it wants, that's flesh. This flesh always desires. So there's a war always going on between the spirit and the flesh. And we must be able to bring our flesh under subjection to the spirit. So we are trying to get to this point that we are doing this. But let me just cover a couple of areas of scriptures. We know about Moses. We know that Moses, as far as 40 days, we only know maybe a few people in scripture who fasted for 40 days, Moses being one of them, Elijah being another, Ezekiel, and Jesus Christ. Those are probably the ones that we know that fasted that long. That's a long period of time to fast, and we know that in the case of Moses, being in the presence of the Lord, he did not even drink water. So we are not going to encourage anybody to go out and not drink water because your body needs hydration. So we want you to be able to be hydrated as you enter into this journey. Whatever your decision is in terms of where you would be on the scale or the spectrum of where we are with the Daniel, that's our benchmark. There may be some of you who want to go a little further. And maybe even in the midst of going through this fasting period, you may find the challenges of fasting even in the Daniel mode. But we have a group of us as a ministry, as a body of believers to encourage one another. I thank God so much for Dr. Deb and a concept of how she's approaching this with the checkpoints to encourage. She's offered, and as well as I've offered and others, to call each other, to encourage each other if you need it on this period. And we want to be able to go through this in the spirit in which God has given us. Now, I'll talk about, like I said, in that benchmark of the Daniel fast, you know, we know that fasting in this concept has to do with the abstention from food for a period of time. And so in the handout that I had given, as I'm talking about thriving in 2025, being able to strive spiritually, physically, mentally, and socially, we want to see God grow us in the fasting, repentance, and prayer. We just want to see God make a difference in our lives. And I was able to find something from a physician that talked about some of the things that happen, what we can anticipate. If you are doing a Daniel fast and you have something that you will be eating, that are fruits and vegetables primarily. But those that may try to go a little further, it's the period of time that you would go without food that you're looking at. Now, we know that all of us are going to go to sleep tonight, I hope. I hope some of you are not up all night tonight, but most of you are going to go to sleep tonight. And during the time that you're sleeping, your body goes into a form of a fast. How do we know that? We kind of know that intuitively because we get up. Most people want to eat breakfast, which means to break the fast of the night from where you did not eat from the day before. And so for some of us, that's 8 hours if you get 8 hours of sleep, or some may get less. Some of us may get more. And then when we get up in the morning, if you go a few more hours, you can find a stage where you have fasted for maybe 8 to 12 hours. Even in that type of fast, there can be the benefit of stable blood sugar. Yes. We don't know if that works that way for everybody's body type, but we would assume that you have denied yourself and your body is trying to regulate itself. But for those that who fast that way, you can get a period of time that you may go and not eat breakfast. You may not break your fast in the morning at breakfast, what we call breakfast. You may want to go to lunch and don't eat breakfast. And even if you go to where some people may go what they call intermittent fasting, where they may go for a period of 12 to 18 hours without eating and find themselves eating in the evening. Some people also call that sunset fasting. They would maybe eat once a day. I'm just throwing these out there for those who may want to go a little bit further than the Daniel. But even some people mix that sunset fasting or that intermittent fasting with the Daniel fast. And instead of eating throughout the day, they will try to eat once during the day. And here again, your body gets benefit from what they may call ketosis and fat burning, and mental clarity can come from a period of time from 12 to 18 hours. So you just have to kind of look over the Daniel fast. Know that we're all on that at our benchmark, and those that want to go a little further to even seek God even the more, you can go further in your quest. But God honors what we dedicate to him in the fast. And so God knows our hearts, and he's examining our hearts in this thing. So we want to be as focused on seeking him. And yes, you know, some people give up other things. And we were talking this morning in our study this morning. You know, Mother Cora had mentioned some things, and Dr. Dev had mentioned some things. And we realized that when we began to fast and to seek God, some of the things that we would talk about giving up, we're going to give them up anyway. We don't even have to even force ourselves. It's hard for me to see how somebody can be on a fast and watch television where they got commercials about food. Lord help me. Lord help me. I don't know. I mean, you know, because I remember every time I go into a fast, I have to kind of get away from watching all these television shows and things because the commercials, I mean, wow. They try to make the food look so good and entice us. So there will always be some enticement. The devil always is going to try to entice us to get us away from this. This is something that we live in our society with distractions all the time. And so when you're going to seek God in a fast, you know, even the enemy tries to raise up. Even Jesus, after fasting 40 days, yes, his body may have been in some weak state, but his spiritual man was strong. Yes, he showed himself because the enemy came to tempt him in the wilderness. But he was able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we, too, know that when we're going through this, that there will be times of struggle as if hunger comes and things like that. So we want to be able to deny our flesh for that period of time or to eat the food that we have chosen in the Daniel fast. And so God will honor that. God will honor our sacrifice and our desire to seek him. And going back to Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues. Yes, we're to pray in private, but we also pray corporately because we're doing this as a body of believers as well as individually. And when we fast, Jesus says, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Yes, so we don't fast for the purposes of boasting about it. We fasted because we're seeking our God. And he said that we're to do this, to put oil on our head, to wash our face, to look normal, look normal, like you normally would, not to bring unnecessary attention to yourself. Because our Father in heaven will see us. Yes, our Father who's unseen, when he sees us, what we're doing in secret, he will reward us. So God is going to reward us, and one of the rewards that he's going to reward us with is more of him, more of his presence in our life, more awareness of who he is in our life, and he becomes even more real to us as we seek him in the fast. Yes. I'm just going to turn to a couple of scriptures. This, when we think about kings, kings will call fast, and I'll just mention a couple of areas. The Second Chronicles chapter 20, we know about this when the Moabites and Ammonites and the Midianites came against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So a king could call a fast, and so the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. And we know that as a result of that, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, yes, and spoke through him. And he told the king, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Yes, so we see that fasting brought about a seeking God for help, and God is a very present help in the time of need. He heard their prayer. Yes, and then we think about Ezra, in Ezra chapter 8, amen, Ezra chapter 8, that was a fast that Ezra had to call to the people because he had told the king that that they didn't need an escort. That they didn't need anybody to escort them to return to Jerusalem. So he had assembled everybody to return. And it says that when they got to a certain point, they became fearful because there were some people who could harm them on the journey. They didn't ask for an escort from the king. Yes. But what they did at Ahava, for now, is that Ezra proclaimed a fast so that they might humble themselves before their God and ask him for a safe journey and for their children with all of their possessions. Yes, he was ashamed to ask the king because he had talked about God would take care of him. He said, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So they fasted and petitioned God about this, and God answered their prayer. And so we see there that God will answer our prayer. And if we are seeking him, and you see that they went into a fast because they're going to show their seriousness of heart to seek the face of God, to seek the direction from God, to seek the protection of God. Yes, because they had already, if you will, boasted about God. And so in boasting about God, they had to prove God through their humbling themselves before God, to humble themselves in fasting. So fasting is going to humble us as well as we walk through this, as we walk through this fast. I just want to encourage you in this fast, and as you read these scriptures, and some of those are in the handout that was given to you, and some you will find as you can go and look up different scriptures on fasting in the Word of God to strengthen you even in your fast. I'm strengthened by reading some of these stories. You know, even Nehemiah, amen, even Nehemiah had called the people to fast. And so we see that fasting is all throughout the scriptures, and we see God using people to seek him, to prove him, and to ask for his assistance, whatever they needed from the Lord. They went to the Lord for his help and for his assistance. So we can see that in the benefits of fasting is that there is God helping us. We can see that he strengthens us like he strengthened Jesus in his fast. And we can see that he gives us some type of healing benefit. If we get into Isaiah 58, we see some benefits of fasting And I remember Dr. Deb had shared this with us before in one of her ministry messages to us in Isaiah 58 and 6. It says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to unite the cords of the yoke? To untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. So we see a freeing element in the fast. And so we think about our country today and the things that are happening really already under these so-called executive orders issued by the president has caused some problems to those people. But we know that by fasting and going to the Lord that he can loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yokes that's been placed on the people, and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Yes, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? So God has many things that he's telling us. Verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. So we see healing in fasting. So that is part of that healing. It could be healing for the nation, amen, or it could be healing for you individually. So God will bring about healing even to your body. Even by you cleaning the vessel up, God's going to do something in your body physically, spiritually, mentally, and he's going to strengthen us as a body of believers in relationship with the Lord. And so we just want to continue to fast and to pray. I'm looking at the time, and I did not want to spend a lot of time. I just wanted to tell you about scriptures. Like I said, many of these scriptures that I'm covering are probably in the handout. And if they're not, I do have a list of them that I will just read real quick for those who may be writing. Matthew chapter 6, we talked about that, verses 16 to 18. Joel is powerful because that's a call to repentance in Joel. That's a powerful place where it talks about fasting. He says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. I'm glad I'm looking at that one because I want you to understand that this is a time of fasting. And in some cases, we may be crying out and weeping to God about the things that are occurring in maybe in our own life and maybe in the life of our community, in the life of our world. We are going in asking God to help us. We're repenting of this. We're asking God to forgive us for not putting him in the place of preeminence in our lives. And so we want to let God break off things from us. Let him break the yoke of bondage to us for the things that we need to break off and to change even maybe how we look at food. Somebody say amen. We want to let this change and transform us in some kind of way. Yes, when we come out of the fast, yes, we can go back to some of the delicacies that we like, but maybe through this fast you'll get to think about the food that we are eating. Because, see, the enemy doesn't care whether he kills you with drugs or whether he kills you with food, as long as he gets to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen to me, saying, we don't think about it in the food category that much because it's a slower process. But whether you are addicted to drugs or addicted to food, one, I have a child that has an addiction problem with chemical addiction. And I'll never forget some years ago when she was struggling in the midst of this, and I was riding with her, and we were coming up to Zaxby's, and she said, Daddy, you are addicted to food. I said, my Lord, she just going to call me out. Listen, I had to hear what she was saying. And so I began to examine it from that day forward. And so we must examine ourselves in the fast. It's to help us in a lot of ways, but it's also to draw us closer to God. But we want to let it help us to understand the impact of our flesh upon our lives and to denying ourselves, to be able to turn down the plated face, if you will, or to be able to turn off the television, to be able to deny ourselves for something that we desire in our flesh, but we say, I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to go before the Lord and pray. And all the period of time in which you're fasting and not eating is a time of seeking God and seeking his face. This is what we get from the idea and the concept of fasting. Yes, we can pray to him even during any time. But in the time of prayer, it is that time that we spend focusing on God. Like I was talking about the sunset fast concept of one meal a day. Well, during the whole day, you don't just think about food all day long. You got to think about the Lord because you're going to feel some hunger if you're going through that process. So we want to make sure that we are doing what we can to focus on the Holy Spirit leading us through the fast, amen, and drawing closer to the Lord. So let me close this. Like I said, I didn't want to spend a lot of time in the text, but like I said, we can talk about those texts. But just know that if you go and read scripture, if you want to spend time in reading God's word and letting God minister to you through the word itself and reading those stories of those scriptures that we're talking about from Joel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 1, Ezra chapter 8, Isaiah chapter 58. Acts chapter 13, we find that part of fasting had to do with discerning because they fasted before, amen. They fasted while they were worshiping the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to whom they have called them. And so even fasting and praying will help us to discern what we may need to do for ministry. And maybe someone needs to be set apart to do a particular work for the Lord. Yes, even in Acts 14, when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So even in the idea of appointing people and doing the work of the ministry, fasting strengthened us in our understanding and our revelational how to go about appointing the leaders within the church. Amen. Exodus chapter 34 had to do with Moses. And, of course, I talked about Nehemiah chapter 1, when he talked about fasting. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to say to you, you look up scripture. You seek the Lord. And as we have an opportunity for these checkpoints that have been set up, we get to share how the Lord is doing. And I want to encourage, we talked about this morning. Even if you feel that some kind of way as you're going through this process and let's say you slip up, don't throw in the towel. No, tomorrow is a new day. Of that point that you slip, get back up and dust yourself off and say, I'm going to continue to press through this fast. Never give up. Continue to press for this. Yes. And even as you're maybe wanting to do even more in the fast, don't try to do more than what you can do starting out. If this is your first time, you want to stay where you're comfortable. If this is a time that you want to try to press to go a little further, God would honor that in the spirit of what you're doing. And remember, these are not things we do to boast about. This is things that we want to do to allow God to come closer to us. And all I can say is that there are many testimonies that you've heard, and there's many testimonies about what God will do. Well, we are hoping and praying for, at least I am, for the corporate body of believers that we're fasting, is that we can pray and hear God and know God will answer prayer. When the disciples watched Jesus and the power that came from them, they wanted to know what it was that he did, how to pray. What did you do, Lord? You've given us authority, but what is it we're not doing? We're not paying the price. Jesus paid the price of time to spend with the Father. This is our opportunity to spend time with the Father, to grow in the grace of God, to come stronger spiritually, that we will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of our flesh. Lord, help us along this journey. It is my prayer. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will help us on this journey. We don't want anyone not to be successful on the journey. Father, we will leave none behind. We will check points at checkpoints. If anybody is struggling, let them reach out to others and be encouraged that they can go on. If there's modifications they have to make in order to get through a period, let them modify and continue on this journey. For Father, we know that you will hear us. We know what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, that my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Father, we humble ourselves for us. We will turn from our wicked way, pray, and seek your face. We will do that in this fast. That is the time of fasting, because for then you will hear us from heaven, and you will heal our land. Yes, you will heal our land. You will bring about change, and let us be the church. Let the church be the church of God, the church of Christ. Let us be the bride that we are to be in bringing about holiness into our lives. Father, we need to break off some things. Father, I need to break off some things. We need to break off some things. And, Father, through this fast of sacrifice of 21 days, God, we ask that you move in a mighty way among us as believers, that you show yourself strong. Reveal to us the things that we need to purge from ourselves. And, Father, reveal to us also the things that we need to do to bring glory and honor to your name. And, Father, help us to be the holy people of God that you said to be holy as you are holy. Help us to strengthen our walk with you every day, that we will not only be telling people about you, but that we will be showing them the power of you in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God our Father. We will not only talk about it, we will live it and show and prove in the earth. Father, we pray that you would hear our prayer, just as the psalmist cried out to you, to hear their prayer, hear our cry. And Father, we know that if we come to you in the right way, you will hear us and answer our prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for that, that our prayers will be heard, that healing will be done. If we have a problem, fast. If we have a situation in our relationships with our wives and family, fast. If we have a problem in healing in our body, fast. If we have a problem with anything, Father, you have given us the concept of fasting and praying and seeking your face. So we pray, we repent, and we fast to bring glory to you, that you will help us to be more like you, Lord. And in that I say amen, and to glory be the God that we serve. To him be the glory forever and ever. God bless you, saints, and thank you for listening. And I know I took some time here, but I just wanted to go through that to be an encouragement. This is what the Lord gave me tonight. This is what he placed in my spirit to just encourage you in the fast. Let's encourage one another and continue to keep a focus of it, because we must focus, because I'm telling you, tomorrow is coming. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow is coming. And we want to have a successful first day and throughout the whole 21 days. We can do this because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. I pray for all of you that we be successful on the journey, and that we will be able to hear from heaven, and God will answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Deacon Connor, back to you. Dr. Deb, Dr. Deb. Yes, Dr. Deb, you may want to add some things, Dr. Deb. God bless you.
Amen, amen. We want to thank Pastor Reggie for coming tonight, and again, pushing us, preparing us. As I say, this is day four prep time, and what an awesome preparation provided to us this evening with our Lord's Supper, as well as our early morning session too. Just two things. Thank you for the physical preparation that you provided to us, Pastor Reggie. We have talked about this. I can't reemphasize it enough. We need to ensure that we drink water. Ensure that your body is hydrated, ensure that you nourish yourself, the physical body nourishment based upon what has been provided, as well as water, drinking plenty of water. Get that case of water in your house. We have great water here in Macon, Georgia, but making sure we stay hydrated physically and nourished. The second is spiritual hydration, being hydrated through the Word of God, through our prayer time in the prayer closet, Matthew 6:6, through reading of devotions and added devotions that have been provided. And with that, I'm going to segue into our guide. If you have a copy of the guide or you don't have a copy of the guide and you would like a copy of it, please let us know. No one will be left behind. You have been coming to this ministry day in and day out. We will be posting the scriptures each day for you to read, for you to be encouraged, and for you to pray. I'm going to call notice to page number 10 in our guide, and that is day one, entitled Trust in the Lord. That is our morning devotion. We have a scripture that has been provided, a devotional thought provided, but the main thing I want you to zero in on, and I want you to use your highlighter, is the reflection question. This is the question. What is your primary reason for embarking on this Daniel fast? How do you hope to encounter God during these 21 days? It is imperative. It's critical that you write this out. I know you say you got it in your head. You already know. But it is critical that you write this out, because at the end of the 21-day fast, we are going to go back to page number 10. So please make sure you write out what is your primary reason for embarking. Because here's the thing. You can go on a diet, and you can make this a diet and lose physical weight. But we are not on a diet for physical weight loss. We are intending with a purpose and an intention, and it's important that you complete, as I say, page number 10. We have a morning devotion, and we have a midday and an evening devotion. Our evening devotion tomorrow is on page 16 of your supplemental reading, page 16, is our midday and evening reading. There is also a question there, or a comment is asking you, please write out your prayer points. Some people say, well, I pray and the words come out. Let us begin to journal. What will your prayer points be after reading these scriptures? This is an opportunity for us to begin to write. And then we go back to it and see just what the Lord has done and what he will do in this time. So please look at the various questions, reflection questions. Look at the assignments that has been given after each one of our devotionals that we read. Now I want you to not only go over, I want you to go over to the page in the supplement, and it's on page number, please excuse me, I'm getting there, page number 15 in the supplement, page 15 in your supplemental reading. Please read those instructions, and we ask if you would please follow those instructions. I promise you, the Holy Spirit will begin to align your will, your way, with the will and the way and the Word of God. I promise you that if you go into this fast with the desire for alignment, this fast is a time of alignment with the will of God, with the way of God, and the Word of God. This fast is about renewing our mind, Romans 12:1-2. It is about being a doer of the word. An awesome job Pastor Reggie did on tonight. But keep in mind, it is a time of repentance. ridding myself of a selfish mindset of guilt and shame, giving up my first birth thinking, walking in darkness, and moving to walking in the light. So as we look at this time of alignment, we are also looking at getting ourselves fed, feasting on the word of God. So please read page 15 as you go through each of the devotions. Last thing I want to say tonight is I'm going to give you my eight S's. These are my eight S's as I go into the fast, and I know that I will be adding even more. Now, this may not be yours, but this is what's going to be transferred to my page 10. My eight S's is this. Number one, I am going to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. Now, my second S is to surrender and submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to come alive in my life. My third S is to steer, Lord, steer my mind from distractions and provide me clarity as well as wisdom. My fourth S is, Lord, keep me strong and keep me alert. My fifth S is, help me to bring my spirit, my soul, my body, and mind into subjection and focus on you totally. My sixth S is this, is that I am praying for salvation of those that do not know the Lord during this fast. My seventh S is this, is that my speech will be with grace, seasoned with salt, when I am responding to others. And my eighth S is this, Lord, strengthen me to wage spiritual warfare. Because during these 21 days, we will have spiritual warfare. That's why it's so important that we ground ourselves in the Word of God during the morning, midday, evening, through the day, and especially at night. The enemy is going to want to wage war on our minds. So I'm asking the Lord, this is for Deborah, strengthen me to be able to wage war based upon your word, and that I will hear your voice clearly as I walk through these 21 days. So those are my eight S's. Go ahead, make sure, write out what you are fasting for, what you are seeking God for. But most of all, remember this. In my seeking, I first want to seek him and his righteousness. What is it that he wants me to do as a kingdom citizen, as a daughter, as an ambassador of the king? So again, I am excited about our starting. I'm thankful for the prep days we have had to include today. What an awesome prep day. And remember this. We are leaving no one behind. We are praying for everyone. Whether you join the journey on the 21-day fast or not, know this. Your name is already on our list. Lastly, I want us to add the names of the children that we have posted on our website. We have been praying for them. And I know you all saw, some of you all saw the news release on Imani Murray, the daughter of Sister Maxwell, the granddaughter of Sister Wanda, that she got accepted at Clark Atlanta. We have been praying for our children, praying for breakthroughs, strongholds. Write down, you don't have to share with anybody, but that's between you and the Lord when you go into your prayer closet. Write down specifically, be specific as to what you are calling out for. And then
go and find the scripture that goes along with that request. Because we don't want a request to be just asked out there, but we want you to align it with the word of God, because we're going to pray the word. Sister Brenda, I'm praying the word for your grandchildren. I'm praying the word, Deacon Connor, for your grandchildren. I'm praying the word for your grandchildren, Pastor Kuiper. I'm praying the word of God. I'm going into his word and find out what he says about Uncle Chester, what he says about Uncle John, what he says about Mother Cora, what he says about Mother Neil, what he says about Sister Ruby, what he says about Sister JJ, what he says about Sister Ann, what he says about Sister Gloria, what he says about Sister Maddie, what he says about Sister Pearlie, what he says about all of us on this line. You text me and you say to me, Minister, I need you to go in prayer with me. That's between me and you and nobody else. We got to use our prayer closet, and we got to use this word of God, because his declarations, his decrees, his laws are true. And they will never be rescinded. They will never be overturned.
Yes, Lord.
So as we prepare for this time of alignment with the will of God, not our will, not our way, not the way we want God to do it, but God, what is your way? How are you? Whatever way you want to do it, Lord, I want my child saved, my grandchild saved. I want them delivered.
Yes.
So I want us to go into, not only that, go to the page that has prayer requests. We got a sheet in the guide that talks about listing what your prayer requests are. List those prayer requests. It's on page 49 in the guide. And put a scripture by it. We got to pray the word. What does the word of God say? Box ourselves in with the word. For his word will not return void.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray his promise, because his promise is true. God is not a man that will lie. So we as disciples, we are praying the word of God, the will of God, the way of God. So tonight, enjoy your rest. I am taking another press in on the fast. I am reading through the New Testament from the NLT translation. That's a part I've added to the fast for my reading to keep me nourished. So add other scriptures, because tomorrow when we come together, I want to hear more scriptures. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Kuiper, we're going to post those scriptures that you shared with us.
Amen.
So that we are pressing in, you all. This is 2025. We are pressing in.
Amen.
So back over to you, Deacon Collins. Thank you all so much for your love. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for your understanding. And know this, we love you. And we are surrounding you and saturating you with prayer. Deacon Connor.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Steele. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else that would like to add any comments, words of encouragement? Amen. No others to add to the words of encouragement to the speaker, Pastor Kuiper, the professor that did an excellent job. We move on to our prayer request.
Yes, I'd like prayer to put Shirley Hamilton on. She's asked to be added to the prayer request.
Anyone else?
And Brother Everett mentioned his Uncle Chester. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chester Samples. Yes, Chester Samples. Add him to the prayer list.
And Wanda Middleton, she was sick at church today, so add her name too.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that text. I saw the text in the group chat. Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else to be added? If there's no one else to be added, we move on to our scripture supporting prayer and request.
Amen, amen. Deacon Connor had one scripture, but I tell you what, I am going to go over to this scripture tonight. Just give me 1 minute, and I am getting there. Here I am, Isaiah 41 and 10. And we read this one before. I'm going to read it again. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I want us to go back over to Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and never grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Brenda?
All right. Our Father, we come again thanking you for the opportunity to call on your name one more time. Come, Lord, asking your forgiveness for all sins known and unknown. I come this evening, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity to use your body, to use our body as a sacrifice to concentrate more on you and to let you be more a part of my life. So, Lord, we come lifting up Shirley Hamilton.
Yes, Lord.
You know, Shirley, she's been sick a great part of her life, and she hurts and she has pain, but we're asking you if it be your will to heal her body.
Yes,
and we're going to go ahead and thank you for the healing.
Gotcha.
We're going to go ahead and praise you for the healing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Uncle Chester mm-hmm. Samples, Everett's uncle. Lord, we're asking you to touch his body with healing.
Touch
his eyes that he may see.
Church,
we just claim the victory over his life, and we're going to go ahead and thank you for the healing right now.
Yes,
and then, Lord, we lift up Wanda Middleton. Whatever is going on in her body, we're asking you for a touch.
Mm-hmm.
Touch right now in the name of Jesus.
Name
we
of
know
Jesus.
You can, and we're going to go ahead and thank you for it in advance. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we lift up the tomorrow as a schedule for our fast, that we will all be able to give of a sacrifice to you, that we will be able to be obedient and do what our packet has asked us to do. Even with our health challenges, we ask that you would be in the midst. Well, Lord, we're going to go ahead and thank you for the victory on that as well. And then let it not just be a fast, let it be one that we will be constantly in prayer, one that we will give all our burdens over to you, and one that we will be able to pray for others that will come out victorious as well. So, Lord, we're going to go ahead and thank you. We're going to go ahead and just count this as a victory already, that it has been done, it will be done, and it shall be done. And we're going to thank you in advance for the victory. So in Jesus' name, we claim victory right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that is it for our service this evening. I walk in the word. We want a special thanks to the professor, Reverend Pastor, risen the capital for our walk in the word this evening. We thank the minister, Dr. Deborah Singleton, for her input as well. And we thank you all for all of those that have been on the line tonight that enjoyed and listened to our walk in the word. We thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Good night, victory.
Yeah. Victory. We are triumphant. Victory.
Amen.
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 Mama, Maddie, Aurelia, and good night.
Good night.
This is Wanda Milton.
Praise the Wanda.
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling well. How this is this morning. But all is well. Thank y'all for the prayer.
Hallelujah. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
What we prayed for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night, girls. I love you all.
Love you.
Love you too.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.